whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, buddy, it's hour number 3 of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3. The Fan. Wolchuk's Top 10 is right around the corner. We're talking basketball with you coming up at 4:40 in the form of a rim session. Right now, time for the sounds of the sports day. Here's the Chief.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Okay, at any point when you guys decide that your body's ready and you want to play CTE or cocaine, a brand new game here in the G-Bag Nation, you guys just let me know. In the meantime, here's a very angry Mick Cronin after his team is losing once again, and he deems them delusional.
But we don't play. We're soft. So don't tell me you want to win. Like, just don't tell me you want to win. So don't tell me you want to win.
All right.
It's crazy, you know. And it's every day. I'm tired of it. It's every day. I have the most energy of all of anybody at practice every day. I'm upset with everybody in that locker room, my assistant coaches and my players. I mean, I don't need to do anything else. I almost got 500 wins. I'm only 53. I mean, it's a joke. It's a joke. But yet I come in and I have more passion and energy and pride than everybody in. That's the problem. So what the truth of it has been, it's really hard to coach people that are delusional. The hungry dog gets the bone. We got guys that think they're way better than they are. They're nice kids. They're completely delusional about who they are.
I mean, sick burn after sick burn, flexing his own bona fides there a little bit. I'm a man. I'm 53. I almost got 500 wins. And my energy levels, my T levels, my competitive spirit, everything that is in me is not in my team or my coaches, and they're delusional.
Yeah, you know, one thing I've learned is you can't want it more than your players, and if you do, then you got to change your motivational tactics to get the players' motivation up. Like, listening to him, I can tell he's got a lot of frustration going on, but I would imagine his frustration and the way it is manifesting is leading to demotivating the players.
Oh, he's hustling backwards with the way he's going about it.
I think
it.
So.
He's trying to beat it into him.
Like, that frustration, that's just going to bring the vibes down. You can't be energized in that sort of a place as an athlete. You got to find a way to connect with these kids, you know, and get them to want to play, you know, for more than just getting you to be quiet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I wonder who's more down bad right now, him or the St. John's
Pitino?
Yeah, Pitino.
I was thinking about that one a lot last night.
I might go back to the bottle.
Oh, goodness gracious. The difference between him and Mick Cronin is Mick Cronin never left the bottle.
Might find me hanging out with Rick here before too long.
Well, we have a couple of others here. How about this interaction after the Hornets game last night with LaMelo Ball? And the balls are up right now, by the way. LaMelo's playing well. Lonzo,
dude, LaMelo is the most entertaining player going right now.
Yeah, he's pretty.
I mean,
pretty
last
fun.
Night the TNT guys, they were whistling the Harlem Globetrotters, theme song, because he's just making kids look silly, and he's playing a game that would usually only be in one of these high entertainment value or all-star level games where it's like, hey, the defense isn't going to be there. But he's doing that while giving you a 30-point triple-double.
Yeah, he was going off glass because his dribble stopped, and then he catches it, swings it out for a corner three to his guy. He does have a pretty fun game to watch. And then his brother Jello has, like, the song of the week or whatever, the tweaker song that is just going crazy
in
all the locker rooms right now.
It was amazing.
So here was LaMelo, though, and we might have to play it a couple of times, but I think I get where he's coming from here, but he really liked the reporter's voice here.
LaMelo, playing at home in front of a big crowd tonight. Obviously, it's awesome to get back in the win column, but do it at home in front of the crowd? How awesome was this tonight?
You know, it was great. How you got your voice like that? You got a real, real good voice, man.
Thank you.
you do the reporting for sure. Great. I like that. That was smooth. You know, it was fun. My guy.
Like, there is, you have to think this is a young, maybe rookie year reporter. He's smooth, he's strong, but he's got a little too much excitement. And if you want to play back the question there, Lucius, I get where LaMelo's coming from here.
LaMelo, playing at home in front of a big crowd tonight. Obviously, it's awesome to get back in the win column, but do it at home in front of the crowd. How awesome was this tonight?
You know, it was great. How you got your voice like that? You got a real.
It's like so, he's on air.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Like, man. No, he's polished. He's dialed, and he's fired up for a Hornets victory. You know, and he's probably a lifelong Hornets fan.
So when CT cocaine?
Sounds like Walter's chomping at the bit here.
Is that a segue into some Antonio Brown content? Because that's the first thing that popped in my head.
Okay, that's a great question. 877-881-1053. Who is the subject? Who is the subject of CTE or cocaine? I think going all in on Antonio Brown is probably the smartest play here.
He does have a hilarious account going right now.
Yeah, whoever's doing his tweets for him is fantastic.
Because there's no way that's him, right?
No.
The
no,
CTE, you can't think that quick.
There's like little to no punctuation errors in any of those tweets. Like,
oh, that's true.
He's paying somebody some good money to crank out some good content. But yeah, Antonio Brown's a really good guess. Unfortunately, that's a swing and a miss there, Dawson. Any other guesses? CTE or cocaine?
Gruden,
and
that
okay.
would be John, not Jay.
I could see
Jay could be thrown in there.
I could see John being a guy that slams his head up against a whiteboard from time to time, just to sort of wake himself up in the morning.
Yeah, him and Krista Forrester.
He gets so fired up watching some nicey players of the week that he just has nothing better to do than to just smash his own head into the chalkboard.
Yeah.
But no, it is not John Gruden.
Damn it.
Any other guesses?
Favre.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's strong.
He had a lot of concussions.
He did, yes. Okay, I don't know.
There's one athlete I always think of when it comes to the C word.
Steve Young.
And that's not CTE, but John Jones.
Oh, ding, ding, ding.
Nailed it. Now, First, Walchuk, rules are rules. Take it away.
Mama gave me 8 of them flapjacks. I said, Mama, take away 5 of them flapjacks. I want to stay hungry for the crimson tide.
Okay, you decide for yourself. Too much cocaine over the years or just too many blows to the head from being a UFC champion. Take it away, John Jones.
I just went to the New York Knicks game this weekend, last Friday night. Uh-huh. And was it Friday night? I think it was Thursday night. Last Thursday night, New York Knicks was playing against the Buffalo Bills. Not Buffalo Bills, but the Buffalo Bulls.
Buffalo Bulls?
That's definitely cocaine. I don't think the guy's been hit enough to have CTE at this point. He's just so dominant.
Yeah, he is damn dominant. There was a lot going on there.
There's so much. You may not have caught it all. Take it away one more time, John Jones, CTE or cocaine?
I just went to the New York Knicks game this weekend, last Friday night. Uh-huh. And was it Friday night? I think it was Thursday night. Last Thursday night, New York Knicks was playing against the Buffalo Bills. Not Buffalo Bills, but the Buffalo Bulls.
Was it Friday?
So Thursday. This weekend became Friday, which became Thursday, which became the Bills,
football.
Which became the Buffalo Bulls.
Mm.
That was a lot.
Cheers,
to take
Sean.
In there in just a matter of 14 seconds. Pretty impressive stuff there from Bones Jones. Are we going to see him fight again?
Yeah, I think Tom Aspinall. There's a lot that is being rumored right now. That they
Tom Aspinall?
Yeah.
Sounds like a CEO of a company.
Well, he's English.
Tom Aspinall.
He's a CEO of kicking ass is what he is.
Is he really? He is. Is he like a
Oh, he's a badass. Yeah. Heavyweight. I mean, he was an interim heavyweight champ, I believe. But he's definitely the number one contender now. And that's what everybody wants is John to fight him. And I think that we're trending towards that happening.
How old is that? Is this a young guy or is this a...
That's, you know, he definitely has made a strong push in the last 2 years. I want to say he's probably around 30, but let me double check around that.
Okay, very good. In the meantime, here's Justin.
31.
31? Okay. Here's Justin Herbert, Chargers quarterback, talking about when he knew that his head coach, Jim Harbaugh, was just a little bit different.
What's the first time, maybe during offseason workouts or something that Jim said where you were like, this guy's definitely different?
I think when he talked about remembering the day that he was born was probably the first day that he kind of told us the whole story and how he remembered looking out the window, and I think it was a cold, snowy day. I really hope he doesn't remember that. That'd be pretty cool.
He remembers looking out the window on a cold, snowy day, the day that he was born. And there's no way to fact check that, right? I mean, he probably believes. You hook him up to a lie detector test, it's going to prove that it's true because he actually believes what he's saying there.
At some point,
that's
the lie
a culture
becomes
builder.
The truth.
Yes. And that's a guy that the Cowboys maybe could have had last year. I don't know. That's like that.
That could be our coach.
That Wahlberg movie that we've talked about a number of times now that I watched a couple of weeks ago. It's called Infinite. And so the premise of it is every time you die, you come back, right? It's like reincarnation, but you become another human. And the main character in there remembers everything from the time they are conceived, right? Could you imagine that?
No, I cannot.
And he is terrified of going back into the womb for 9 months of being there with all of the thoughts and memories of thousands of years of life. He's like claustrophobic. He just doesn't want to be in the womb, so he's trying to end the world. Pretty cool.
Oh, my gosh.
Infinite, yeah.
And that's Mark Wahlberg the whole time?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, Mark Wahlberg's not the star character. He's fighting that dude.
Oh, he's fighting that guy.
He's really not even that cool.
Mark?
No, yeah. He's short. No,
yeah.
Yeah. Good burgers,
it's only got like an 8-pack.
He's got to be like 60 by now. Anyway.
Burgers are good.
I did think the Wahlburgers were good. I've
never had the Wahlburgers.
Are they still at the Star or did that close?
Close.
I hit up the. We should have gone to the one in Vegas, man. We walked by it about 10 different times our first night there trying to. On search.
But you elected to get a pizza out of a machine.
That was the first night, okay?
And it was just for the novelty of it.
Well, and it was closed. In our defense, it was closed at the time. We did see if it was open, but it was closed.
We were just getting a lay of the land. It was day one in Vegas, dude.
Hey, Wolchuk, great idea. Let's get a pizza out of this machine. That's what you
did. It was a good idea. It made for great content, because you're still talking about it.
I am still talking about it. I just should just give you the money back for that.
It was the single worst pizza I've ever tried.
Oh, it's disgusting. I've never had sauce that tasted like that. I think it was pretty bad.
Thought Broadus was about to say something.
No, I did get a text message, not a text message, but I got a gentleman named Steve Pellegrino.
Excuse me, water.
Stevie P.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. He says, be careful using spray foam on your faucet. I do construction. If you get the wrong foam, it'll be hard to clean off and your faucet may never work again.
See, that's what I was
they
worried
about
there.
They make a cheap styrofoam cover for outdoor faucets. You can get those at most hardware stores or Walmart.
All right.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate you listening.
Heck yeah, Steve.
Love you, Stevie.
All right, let's close it down with Steelers kicker Chris Boswell sharing the story of when he first became the kicker for the Steelers and the type of treatment that he was getting from the legendary James Harrison.
When I first came in here, James Harrison, like my first practice, I signed on like a Friday or Saturday. I got to go home for the weekend and come back. And Debo... My very first practice stood over the holder. So the holder's waiting to get the snap, standing over his shoulder, and it's just, I dare you to miss this kick. I dare you to miss it. You miss this kick, you wash my back in the shower. Yeah. And so, I mean, that just the whole time. And even after I, you know, obviously had a decent season that year, but team meeting room, when I used to go, I would sit here and Debo would sit here and he would just stare at me. Mike Tomlin's
up there,
yeah. Giving his team presentation and he's just staring at me like this the entire team meeting. Just intimidating.
That's terrifying.
Intimidating as hell.
That's incredible, dude. James Harrison having no respect for the kicker. And I do imagine James Harrison, with just how strong and muscled up he is, he probably can't reach those tough to get spots on his back. He probably needs a personal back washer. Why not be the kicker Boswell?
Yeah, and I love that approach. I don't know if that was a Mike Tomlin call or whatever, but we want to send our most intimidating yeller on the other side as this kicker is showing up for the first day. If you can't pass this, there's no way you're going to go on the road and make a game winner.
No.
You know? It's the perfect way to check your heart.
Yeah, I love it. I really do. There it is. Sounds of the sports day.
Thank you, Chief. We're on next to the top 10 at 420. Wolchuk, what do you have cooking?
All right, we've got the winter storm that's supposed to be hitting us here in the Metroplex. Top 10 winter comfort foods. What's your go-to? That's next in the nation.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's time for Wolchuk's Top 10 at 420 here in the nation. Segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. Here he is, Zach with an H. Your Woolly Bully.
Thank you very, very much. Everybody stay warm out there as we've got reports, of course, of some snow, some wintry mix. It's supposed to hit DFW starting tomorrow morning. So we've got the top 10 best winter comfort foods, 877-881-1053. What do you like to eat when the weather's all frigid and cold outside? did have this piece of audio with Julian Edelman, the Games with Names podcast. And this is Bon Jovi, who's a New Jersey native, grew up not liking the Dallas Cowboys, and became good friends with Jerry Jones.
I actually met him in Bill Parcells' office.
Oh, because Parcells is probably a good buddies with Bon Jovi.
Him and Parcells were big friends. Matter of fact, like I walked into Parcells' office, knocked on the door, and here's a gentleman, a smaller gentleman with long hair sitting, and I just saw the back of his head, walked in there, I was talking to Bill, turned around, and I looked down, and it's like John Bon Jovi.
Holy crap.
And he's like, hey, and he's like, Bill's like, hey, Brian, meet John. I'm like, oh, yes, sir, hey. Nice to meet you. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to leave now. Thanks, bye. But yeah, no, he and Parcells were big friends.
That's, and both Jersey boys.
He loves Philly. He's a Phillies.
He does.
He's a Philly Eagles guy.
And I didn't realize, I mean, I guess I should have, because obviously he was part of, I think, that ownership group with Jaws. Yeah, the Philadelphia Soul.
The Soul.
He talks about that, and this is the first time he ever met Jerry Jones.
This is a cute story. I went to Dallas to meet, the devil, Jerry. I went down and I wanted to buy a franchise in Philly. I get to Dallas and we're sitting there and in walks Jerry. And he's a great salesman. The Arena Bowl is going to be on NBC and I think it's a good idea for you to do this. And maybe you'll come here and you'll like the Dallas Cowboys. And I was like, let me tell you something. We're from New Jersey. We don't like the Dallas Cowboys. We don't like anything to do with the Dallas Cowboys. In walks my buddy Parcells. I go, what are you doing here? He goes, I'm getting paid. What are you doing here? Jerry does the coolest thing ever. He takes our white van that's going to take us back to the airport, and he sends it away. And up rolls the Dallas Cowboy bus. And he goes, here's your ride back to the airport. I go, over my dead body. I open up this leather satchel, and in it is a game day jersey of Michael Strahan that I pull out like garlic to a vampire and I go, back off, Jones, back off. The first time I meet him, not getting on that bus. True story.
Jerry Jones.
Great man.
Back off, Jones, back off, as he waves this giant Strahan jersey. But yeah, I can respect that from Bon Jovi. Yeah. I wouldn't want to be getting on an Eagles team bus. Gross. That's disgusting. So respect to you.
Just walk to the airport. Huh?
Respect to you.
I don't know. I think they take this bit a little bit too far. I think celebrities and former players and all that from other teams, you kind of say, well, that stuff's for fans. We're here meeting as business people. I know that's how Jerry looks at it. And I know that's how Parcells looked at it. I think Bon Jovi's coming off just a little bit too much like a fanboy, kind of like Bobby Belt, if you ask me.
Oh, he's fanboying it. Yeah. Oh, shots fired.
Do you think celebrities are more fans than fans?
No, because I think they get a chance to meet everybody, and then they realize they like people that play on other teams, and it just kind of diminishes that a little bit.
I mean, how many millions of dollars, I'm just asking, I'm not, how many millions of dollars do you think Spike Lee has spent on courtside tickets for the Knicks? Mm-hmm. Millions? Got to be millions, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's got to be $1,000 a ticket at least.
Maybe more.
40 times a year for, what is that, 40 grand already?
Couple of tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah. To me, he's got, it's amazing that some of these celebrities are such big sports fans.
Some of them are, yeah.
Yeah, big time fans.
Yeah.
I
just saw Antonio Brown quote tweeted Micah's audio that we played earlier about the Cowboys winning the Super Bowl next season. He said, Micah Parsons, welcome to CTESPN. Micah quote tweeted it and said, can I make it to the Hall of Fame?
With takes like that, you're on the fast track, my friend. First ballot.
I like the sense of humor. All right, let's get into the top 10 best winter comfort foods as we get ready for some frigid weather, boys. 877-881-1053. 229 said chili. Beef stew.
100%, dude.
Chicken and dumplings. Some of my all-time favorites, along with some grilled cheese sandwiches and a good soup. Man, you just nailed a lot of this top 10.
I mean, I feel like this is kind of like beef stew, but nothing better than a roast in a crock pot to me. Pulling apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A good roast.
Potatoes. Rolls with their, carrots
it
maybe.
Carrots
take
the juice
there.
Out of the bottom of it and use it kind of as a gravy.
That's
nice.
Yeah. I like pouring it over the potatoes.
There you go. There you go.
Absolutely. We've got chili's really just a major text in the chili and cornbread.
Chili has to be number one on this list.
We got pool noodles from the 254. That's actually regarding the faucet covers.
Oh, okay.
You cut those up. You can do some good work with the pool noodles this time of year.
Some folks were telling me, keep going, I'll get you. There's another name for something that they were telling that you need to get.
Tamales, pot pies,
pot pie. Absolutely. Why not?
Frito pie.
That's big.
Getting
something cooked in the oven, I feel like that's going to warm the house up.
With cheese steaks from the 940, specifically Texadelphia cheese steaks.
Not bad.
Sounds like the owner of Texadelphia, if you ask me.
Maybe. Well, they're actually asking, like, how does Texadelphia cheesecakes compare to Philadelphia cheesecakes? I don't know. I haven't actually been to Texadelphia. I've heard good things, though. Heard very, very good things. Gumbo, getting texted in. Chicken and rice, getting texted in. Pozole. Yeah, pozole. And menudo, also got texted in. Lucius, you have any hot foods that you want to add in?
Yeah. Whoever said chicken and rice, that's amazing, because I like that chicken and rice. It cooks all day long, so the house smells amazing when you get home from school or something.
The best.
Yeah, I used to love that. The best, man. And the dressing from Thanksgiving, you only get it once a year, and it's so good to me.
I hate that we only get it once a year, too.
Yeah, it's so good.
You can make dressing a meal if you do it with you. You doll it up with some crawfish or sausage. Yeah, make it, oysters, whatever you want to do. You can doll it up and make that thing like a meal if you like.
Oh, the pho from the 817.
Is that how it's said?
Yeah, pho. It's spelled like pho, but it's pho.
Pho.
Homemade chocolate chip cookies, getting texted in. Our buddy ASU Reed said fish fillets. It's like fried fish.
Fried fish is good.
Lasagna. Yeah, that's a good one. Absolutely.
Anything with mac and cheese. Just throw any protein.
Mac and cheese.
Just throw a protein into mac and cheese. Give me a good meatloaf, too, is another one.
Ooh, a meatloaf, yes.
With potatoes and all that.
That sounds so good. Meatloaf and some mashed potatoes. Yeah. Absolutely.
I think the chicken and noodles, not like a chicken noodle soup, but like homemade thick chicken with noodles, you know.
That would be good.
I like that.
Number 10, we've got breakfast foods, like cinnamon buns, maybe some like warm French toast, some eggs, coffee.
I was going with the skillet meal.
The skillet would be nice and warm.
The skillet meal from like from the Waffle House, but it's like the hash browns and the eggs and the ground up, all that stuff.
That might be
in one pot.
Yeah.
Nine is the dessert.
Just bring it still on the little,
on
the grill. Hell yeah,
you're eating out of the grill.
It's still hot.
Eat it right out of that.
Like the warm chocolate chip cookies, some warm brownies, maybe a warm apple pie comes in at nine.
Brownies are good.
Eight are the dumplings, which you could do the chicken and dumplings.
Make
you
them
do
scratch.
Some pot stickers, some empanadas, maybe some pierogies, which I actually had. That's a northern thing there in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pittsburgh.
They're big for the pierogies. Seven are your pastas. Maybe some nice fettuccine alfredo, some spaghetti and meatballs, mac and cheese. That's nice and comforting in the winter.
Sounds wonderful.
What about just throwing in just an easy DiGiorno pizza?
Yeah, not against it. Maybe. And hey, I know Hagee thinks it's poor people's food.
I think
DiGiorno, or is he talking Totino's?
No. The Totino's, the pizza,
any frozen pizzas,
the pizza rolls.
Oh, yes.
He's not into the pizza rolls.
Those little bagel bite things?
Bagel bites are fantastic.
I don't think he crapped on the bagel bites, but I know he's crapped on the pizza rolls, and I find that very offensive. Because I did love me some pizza rolls.
I'm going to vote for Eric's mom's baked ziti.
Oh, I'm so upset.
That's a strong play.
I'm still waiting on the spaghetti and meatballs.
Real strong play.
Casseroles come in at number six. Like a chicken casserole, broccoli cheese casserole. Five are a sandwich, like the grilled cheese, and tomato soup.
You can't half-ass it on the cheese, by the way.
No, you can't.
Real good cheese.
Go for your real cheese, yeah.
Or a French dip?
No processed cheese.
No processed cheese. You got to make sure, man. I'd go Irish cheese, sourdough bread, maybe put that Irish butter to kind of toast it in.
Yes, dude.
Where I'm going.
Yes. Yeah. What meat are you putting on your grilled cheese?
I'm just having the grilled cheese. But, you could do...
It's a side to something else.
It's a side. You could do the tomato basil soup, make it pretty thick. But you can also use just the straight marinara and dip it.
Ooh, you could.
There's the marinara.
There's a very thin line on that bisque, though, from thick to chunky. And chunky,
no, it's
I'm
hard.
Out.
You're hard. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, you don't want too much tomato chunks.
Like a good chowder?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Like a heartier kind of soup.
Not everybody likes oyster chunks.
The clams.
Clams, yeah. That's kind of
I'm with you on that.
I'm potato and the
That. It's hearty. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Get a nice little bread bowl for it.
Oh.
I mean, really, just tear.
Well, that's
it up.
Every time we go to Oxnard. Remember, I get the chowder in the bread bowl and the sourdough bread bowl.
Do we have a Super Bowl coming up? I think we do back in San Francisco.
Yes, I believe next year's.
And that's where, what is it, like the Fisherman's Dwarf?
Fisherman's Wharf.
Wharf?
Yeah. Did you say?
I did. Okay. I apologize for that.
The Fisherman's Little Person. It's a great place to eat.
It's a wharf. Four is the roast. There you go, Dawson.
Yeah, Dawson the Crock-Pot.
Nailed it.
corn, potato, not corn, carrots, potato.
You're hanging out watching football all day. The crock pot's just working magic.
Just let it do the job.
There does have to be a market for like little person wait staff kind of like restaurant where like everyone, you know, like Hooters has qualifications, whatever, you know, our qualifications are. It's like there's a, we know there's a market for that.
And it's great for the clam chowder and the bread bowls.
Yes. Yes. Clearly. Absolutely.
Number three is the chili. Beef chili, turkey chili.
Number three is going to be chili here.
Number three
that,
is
that
the
should
chili.
Be a shoe-in unanimous number one. Everybody else is fighting for second.
We're about to get vegetable soup here, but we're about to get
no, we're not.
Two, well, Chuck wouldn't do.
Get
two
ready.
Is, it's not vegetable soup, but it is. You're like your soups, like chicken soup. The chowders are on here as well.
Just not as good as chili.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd rather have a chili, but I
give
think
me some tortilla soup.
Maybe like
if we're
the
playing
masses like soups. Yeah, tortilla soup would be a great one here.
Do you think chili's more of a soup or a stew or in its own deal?
For me, I think it's its own deal.
I think it's its own because number one is stews, which gumbo is also considered in the stew family here. So like your gumbo, your beef stew, and goulash is listed.
How do you feel about gumbo being considered a stew, Broadus?
Does that work?
Yeah,
I'm cook it similarly or no?
No, I really don't.
That
really
feels like another unique on its own.
Yeah,
own
I think
category.
So too.
Gumbo
chili stew.
Brought from Africa. Yeah.
We're separating these.
Separation of powers.
Never had a goulash. I don't know what goulash is.
Goulash is like the chili with noodles and things like that.
Okay.
Like
you take like the macaroni tomato. And cheese pastas and you put spaghetti sauce and meat on it.
Okay, I've had goulash.
Elbow macaroni.
Yeah,
and
I gotcha.
And you make it, bake it with cheese and stuff like that. Yeah.
Pretty good. It's basically spaghetti.
I've had a lot of people.
You never had Hamburger Helper in your life?
Yes.
Similar.
Goulash.
Gotcha. Yeah. We're goulashing. Yeah. All right, there
Thank you, Will Chuck. There he goes. Every day at 4:20, here his top 10.
You're sorry about the dwarf thing. Is that what you wanted to say? You wanted to get that off your chest?
I
think you just opened up a great opportunity. There has to be restaurants out there that are specific to, you know, that is what the wait staff is. That is going to bring in the masses guaranteed 100%. So if this hasn't happened yet, we should be patting you on the back, Walchuk.
I appreciate you.
There's a market for this.
Lifting me up in this moment of
an idea, man.
Uncertainty.
Yeah.
Rim session coming up next. Chief, what kind of hoop do we have to talk about?
Well, Mavs get the victory. Let's break it down. We got great dunks and a half-court buzzer beater all next here in the Nation.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bank Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Time now to talk some hoop. Here's the Chief.
People like Walchuk's dwarf idea, man. They're calling it Stumpy's already. Apparently, 817 EDC Vegas has a mini bar inside, and it's a bar run by dwarves. So he says it throws you through a loop when you're shrooming out in Vegas, and that's where you head in. Yeah.
Sure, they have a really good happy hour, Brian. Yes.
Oh man, that's fantastic, dude. See, so there is some elements to this. We probably just need to get it local here. Walchuk's the man for the job.
Let's do it.
All right, let's go ahead and cut the lights out. We'll put the kids to bed. The G-Bag Nation's going all 56 inches around that rim. Always a special occasion when the Mavericks are able to take care of business on the second night of a back-to-back, shorthanded as all get out, and they're an 8-point dog, home dog. They end up winning 118-97. The threes were just raining from everywhere.
Yeah.
And they were rebounding the heck out of the basketball, man. Klay Thompson, Quentin Grimes, Walchuk's guy, getting it done in a big way. P.J. Washington stepping up on and off the floor as a leader. And then the Dinwiddie stuff, he was just dancing on folks, dude. Just ISO, ISO, ISO. And I don't know about you guys, but I was starting to feel a little sad for Austin Reeves, who clearly had the target on his back last night. I saw the tweet from Tim Cato after the game. Dallas put Austin Reeves into isolations 15 times. No one had done that more than 8 times all season. He called it an absolute ruthless roasting of him. Literally, the entire second half strategy was to just take turns cooking Reeves.
Yeah, and it seemed like Dalton Connect got in on some of that down the stretch, as well as I think the Lakers have, you know, some significant roster construction issues, but the Mavs did a hell of a job exploiting it. And as long as Dinwiddie is playing with a nice bounce and hitting a decent percentage of his shots, I think that's your path to victory if you're the Mavs. Like, you got to take that blueprint and say, how many more times can we get something similar to this?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it looked functional.
It
you know?
Did. Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of it helped too, I think, because their defense has also been so bad in this stretch here. I know the offense is without Luka and Kyrie, of course, you're worried about the offense, but the defense had been so bad. But when you knock down shots the way they did, you're able to get back and reset in a beautiful way, and you're not just getting hammered in transition off misses all game long. You're able to set up, okay, we want to double Anthony Davis, cool. We can do what we want to do defensively a little bit. So it's amazing how much things are made easy for you when you're cashing out 47% from downtown.
Nothing worse than, you know, the kick out three that hits off the back of the rim and it's an instant fast break for the opposition.
Seriously. Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's something to these guys just getting to go out there and play loose. Like, hey, there's no expectations here. Let's just go out there and all the pressure's on LeBron and Anthony Davis tonight to get a win. We're on the second night of a back to back, 8-point home dogs. Just go out there and play, boys.
I mean, the Lakers are kind of like the Cowboys for a lot of reasons. They're going to get other teams' best efforts, but you have Klay Thompson playing against his dad's team, a team that recruited him heavily in the offseason. You have Spencer Dinwiddie playing on the team that he chose last year after the buyout or trade or whatever that was. So, I think the guys were extra motivated last night, and hopefully they can take that confidence into the Portland game.
But we do need to go back to early in the basketball game and the moment that I think will be talked about for a long time here.
Reeves, shot clock at 8, plenty of time, nice rotation, Hachimura, 3, rebound hustling is Christie to the cutting James.
Oh my goodness, Kevin Harlan was the man for the job last night. LeBron James at 40 years old. Are you freaking kidding me? Right there in the face of Derek Lively. I'm going right. Nope, Lively's going to block it. I'll just go left with the flush. Yeah. That was nasty, nasty.
I mean, age and all things considered, it's one of the most impressive plays we've ever seen. The cutaway on TV is incredible as Reggie Miller is turning towards Kevin Harlan, who's trying to like capture it with the perfect amount of intensity, and he's just like, it is a really cool moment, and for my money, he's the best. And Reggie Miller, along with Kevin, is actually growing on me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. I
mean, he's starting to do a nice job.
I'll tell you what, we don't see... And maybe when it's playoff time, it becomes a little bit different. But we don't see the game-to-game Reggie Miller trending because he's just getting S'd on Twitter all night.
I think he's taking it more seriously, you know.
I
think maybe, you know, he was trying to, like, make up for the nerves or the unsureness by being extra goofy for, like, a half decade. And he's finally evolved past that.
You know, I kind of felt like that, like, with the pairing with him and Van Gundy, was pretty good with Harlan, Van Gundy,
Stan.
And Miller during the playoffs.
Stan Van Gundy's fantastic.
Because Stan will kind of X and O you, and Reggie will kind of say some crazy things. But, you know, I thought, and Harlan just keeps it moving. But, man, I thought as a three broadcast guys, they did a pretty good job.
Yeah, they balanced each other out well.
The playoffs, yeah.
Who feels better? Is it LeBron with that dunk last night, 40 years old, just an all-time highlight moment for him? This late into his career, is it Zion coming back, hitting you with a 360 Dunkaroonie, or Trae Young with the half court buzzer beater to win the game, dude? Like, what is just completely overwhelming you in that moment?
I think Zion's the bigger surprise, you know, to not be totally out of shape. Yeah. I think he's been focused in this particular part of his recovery from injury or whatever it happened to be this time. I didn't know if he still had that. You know, I expected him to be close to over 300 pounds by now. But you know, I guess he's only still 24 years old. And, you know, for my money, one of if not the single biggest unfortunate wastes of talent so far. And a lot of it's not his fault, you know, with the injuries and stuff like that. But some of it is. And I still think there's plenty of time for him to be outstanding. But there's no way in HE double hockey sticks I would trade for him. I guess New Orleans is willing to now, but I would want nothing to do with it. I'm just sort of hoping from afar that we get to appreciate his athletic gifts because nobody's more talented.
Yeah, I mean that explosiveness in that body just shouldn't make sense. And his body's betrayed himself because of it to some extent. Obviously, some of it his own doing. But, yeah, that's going to be a tough body to maintain, even if you're super dialed.
I mean, if he was in the NFL, we'd say, man, he's built like a defensive tackle, but he's quick like a defensive end. Yeah. You know, he moves like a 225-pound defensive end, but he's powerful like he's 290, like he's freaking Aaron Donald. You know, he's just built so different, and hopefully he stays healthy and, you know, can take his rightful place as one of the top five players in the game. He even has vision. You know, he's got the whole repertoire.
He's very Sean Lee-esque, right? Like, when he plays, he's awesome, but he's just never available. The injuries are probably going to be like best than ever was type of guy.
So are you guys all on board with Dawson here? I think I am as well. I think he would be a stay away for me, at least like from a Mavs perspective. But yeah.
I just don't
think
it's worth the headache and the compensation.
This team's got some bad luck with injuries right now. Just don't need to add any more. You know,
I mean, he's been distracted. He obviously likes to get after it. I can deal with all of that. But along with a metabolism that puts on weight easily and a propensity for just kind of losing focus, and the next thing you know, he's 40 pounds heavier. I think there's just way too many things to try to negotiate.
I mean, imagine like Luka gets enough for being out of shape.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, Zion, it would just be through the roof.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and then the injuries that really seem to have a trouble coming back from. You know, yeah. We hear of fast healers. He's maybe the slowest healer.
He would clean up at Stumpy's, though.
He would.
Here's Brian Windhorst, because you got the Jimmy Butler stuff that continues to evolve, and he was on record saying I'm ready to play literally anywhere, and then it was like, well, I don't want to play in Memphis. Apparently don't want to play in Milwaukee either. He's hell-bent on getting to the Phoenix Suns, but here's Brian Windhorst with the update.
I don't think any team is making their best offer right now for Jimmy. I think it's the poo-poo platter express on calls into Miami right now, and the Heat know that, and maybe they're going to try to navigate this without him, and maybe they'll wait until February 3rd and when this actually gets serious. I could see that for sure happening.
He just wants to get to Phoenix. He wants to get to Phoenix, and Bradley Beal's the only contract that they could conceivably move, but he's got a no-trade clause, and so apparently they're just trying to make life a living hell at work for Bradley Beal to the point where he gets so annoyed and wants to get out of Phoenix, and then he's just willing to be traded wherever. That's what they're hoping for, because the Heat want nothing to do with Bradley Beal and his contract, so it's a weird situation right now, but the poo-poo platter is where Windhorst is going with this, and that's not something I've ever experienced, Broadus. You tend to enjoy it.
It's kind of a Hawaiian dish. It could be Chinese as well. I'll give up Jimmy Butler for the poo-poo platter, because I think there's some value to the poo-poo platter.
Poo-poo platter.
You'll take the platter?
Yes. I think there's some quality hors d'oeuvres on that poo-poo platter that I like.
There's a lot of good stuff happening with the poo-poo platter. You got teriyaki beef and chicken skewers. You got spare ribs or barbecue pork.
Sticky ribs. Yep.
Oftentimes some chicken wings.
Wow, dude. Uh-huh. So this is like a full like appetizer sampler kind of thing. Yeah, you're getting a little taste of everything.
Yeah, this could be a meal if you wanted it to. Absolutely.
Bad marketing for the poo-poo platter. You got to change that name, because it becomes a laughingstock with the name.
I trade.
And I've lived 30 years and not totally understood the greatness of the poo-poo platter.
I've always just assumed someone was saying, like, we're offering you, like, literally poop. You know?
Yeah, a platter of poop. Just, we're going to go around the locker room.
For crappiest contract.
As much as we can. We're going to call Walchuk's buddy Jared, and we're going to get as much on this platter as possible.
What you could do, though, you can create the Italian poo-poo platter, and that's when you add the mozzarella and salami and stuff like that. You can make it.
We
a
call
big,
that the tour of Italy.
Yeah, exactly. You could, but you could be like
some chicken parm, some fettuccine alfredo. Yeah,
just, you could put a bunch of little snacky Italian things on it and make it really good. It
seems like Windhorst needs to get his analogies straight.
For a guy that looks like he enjoys a poo-poo platter, he should have known better.
If that platter's on an expiring contract, we have ourselves a deal, gentlemen.
I totally agree with that.
Let's do it. Let's poo-poo.
Thank you, Chief. Okay, back into football. Big day cooking as everybody's trying to interpret exactly what is happening with the Cowboys and Mike McCarthy. The Expressway is coming up at 5:20, LA Live at 5:40. But, Chief, what is next?
Oh, we got a lot of good football stuff here. A lot of good coaching rumors that are swirling. Another coach from college that is in the mix for the Bears. What happened with Jerod Mayo and the Patriots, and grade this new concession item with the Texans, not the tamale, a different one, next in the nation.